Music is an art that has many shapes and forms. Its history is vast, and its future is even more so. Good afternoon, everyone. It is Tuesday, March 26th at 2:59 p.m., and you are listening to Up and Colorful on kpcradio.com, the show that gets up close and personal with artists and culture. Here in the studio with me today is artist and musician Stephen Lee, better known as Stracked. Thank you so much for being here today, Stephen.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a little bit more about yourself. What exactly do you do?
I produce beats, I write and record songs, and I do audio engineering.
So how did you first get into music?
Well, I really started taking it seriously around the senior year of my high school. I took a music tech class, but before that, I've always been a fan of music, and I would always just listen, and I experimented with making my own stuff, but I didn't really know what I was doing. But when it came to the point where I took that class in my high school senior year, music tech class, it all just came together. I just learned how to produce, and there were times where my mom would drop me off to the gym and she would take my phone and basically leave me there like just to, I don't know, just for disciplinary reasons, I guess. But I wouldn't have my phone, I would just have my laptop. So every day when I would get dropped off there would be nothing to do but do my homework, and I would just be staring at a blank page on my computer, and I just got into writing. And when I got into writing, it just inspired me to lay stuff down and create, and I just worked from there, and the music production and the writing just came together to become songs.
So you mentioned that you write, produce, and engineer. Do you do all of those things by necessity, or have you found that you enjoy them a lot and so you're just trying to get better, etc.?
It's a little bit of both. Kind of by necessity, because I don't really have a team behind me. It's just me. So when I would want a beat, I would I would have to produce it myself, or I would have to reach out to somebody to work with. But the engineering, like, I've always had to rely on myself, because I just feel that it's the most useful thing when you have the knowledge and you can do it all yourself. It's so much easier to apply and get things done, just know how it works and just work more efficiently.
So then you talked about reaching out to other people.
Yeah.
So what is the collaboration process like for you? Do you just take shots in the dark, or what's your...
Well, the collaboration process is great. Well, like, it's different with producers and with other artists. So with producers, a lot of rappers or musicians now will find producers on YouTube. And I do both. So I upload my beats to YouTube. But in most cases, I'll find other producers on YouTube. And they'll have really good beats, and I'll just be listening. And then when I find one that I really like, you can actually purchase these beats from the producers. And they're great. Like, they're already there ready for you, and you could just reach out and just work with other people. And I put out beats the same way, and sometimes people will want to buy my beats. But that's with the producing side. With the artist side, I like that collaboration a lot more. There's a lot more positive energy, and it's more fun. There's more face-to-face. The producer stuff is done all basically through email. Like, you could do all that without even meeting anybody, really. But the artist collaboration is so fun, because I got people that I know that are into music too, and it's just fun to see what we come up with and what we bring out of each other. That's the best part.
So let's go back a bit, because you mentioned you had a music tech class in high school.
Yeah.
Are you currently pursuing music in higher education or anything else?
I'm pursuing business. I'm not taking any music classes right now. I plan to in the future, but most of what I learned about music, honestly, is from my own research and YouTube, honestly. Like, the production class introduced me to the program that I use. I use Reason 10, which is a music production software. Okay. It introduced me to that, and I just know the program inside and out. And just being introduced to that is what got me started, and then the rest came from me just doing my own research, experimenting with my own stuff, and that just came from trial and error, basically. So I feel like most of that kind of stuff can't really be taught, in a way. It's like, your own artistry is what you want it to be. And there's no right or wrong, especially with art. With music, there's no right or wrong. So But I do feel like there are some things that you should know, like basics of how to maneuver the program and such. But I feel like I'm pretty proficient in that. But I would like to go to music school to, you know, meet more artists, learn maybe some stuff that I don't know, some more engineering techniques, stuff like that. I got it in plan for the future.
So is there currently someone who is pushing you to be more into music, or are you more so just on your own right now?
Well, I feel like I'm on my own, and that passion is there. It's always going to be there in me, but I feel that the responses I get and just the people supporting me and spreading love and positive energy, that really motivates me to keep going, and it just pushes me to another level and makes me want to just bring more, and it brings out a lot of me. And I just enjoy the process, you know? I enjoy making it, and a lot of people enjoy hearing it, and it's just positive vibes.
So these positive vibes, do they come from just anonymous people on the internet, or are there family and friends coming up to you and saying, hey, that was really good, let's do more stuff? Or,
well, yeah, the best type is the face-to-face, when you see someone and they really, you could tell that they truly appreciate it and they support you for real, and that's my family. So I really love the support from them. But there will also be people that find me online. Like, I'll get Instagram DMs and say, hey, I found you through this Spotify playlist, and I listened to your whole album twice, and I really like it, keep it up. Stuff like that is just, it just makes you think, wow, people are really listening to what I'm making. And it's just an incredible feeling, like, coming from family or coming from people like that on Instagram who just reach out. It just motivates you to keep going, and it gives you a reason, you know?
So you mentioned your family. Did they also kind of push you to pursue business almost as a safety net, or are they all for you going for music and you chose business yourself?
Well, it's kind of the safety net thing. That's why I took the path of going to CSUN and decided to major in business. But I also do really feel like it translates into being a producer or marketing. Like, marketing yourself as an artist is so important, and everything I've learned majoring in business, I feel like I can apply just by, like, I do mixing services, I sell beats. It all just translates so well. But at first, I didn't really want my family to know that I do music, or I didn't want them to know that I rap, because I was just really shy. I still am shy. But I feel like pursuing business, they complement each other. I feel like it works out well.
So speaking of marketing yourself, let's talk about Spotify. What was your process getting onto such a huge music platform?
Well, when I first started out, I just did my own research, just digging online, like how to get your music on iTunes, how to get your music on Spotify. And for about 2 years when I first started, all I was doing was SoundCloud. And when you're in that stage as an artist, it's hard to get people to take you seriously, and that's just what I wanted more than ever.
Well, yeah, there's that stigma of, oh, he's just a SoundCloud rapper.
Exactly.
Like,
that's a stereotype in itself right there, and just to get people to take you seriously, I feel like you just have to take yourself seriously and get yourself on those platforms. And the process of doing that is just, I started that maybe like a couple years back, maybe 2 years back, and I've still been uploading to Spotify, and now I hardly upload to SoundCloud. It's just, I feel that it's a lot more professional and serious. But I do still use SoundCloud when I'm making music just for fun. But in terms of marketing myself, these platforms, Spotify and iTunes, are the platforms that the majority of listeners have, honestly. Because SoundCloud, a few people have, but iTunes and Spotify are the biggest platforms that I know.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
So you mentioned marketing yourself and how it kind of goes hand in hand with business.
Yeah.
Has your business helped you kind of negotiate the economics behind your beat? Because you mentioned that you sell beats, or sometimes you see a beat you like and you buy it.
Yeah.
What is that process like? Do you price negotiate, or is there a set, like, industry standard?
Yeah. Okay, so it's such a great area, I guess, because producers can charge whatever they want. It's just, the value is really how much do you want that beat, or how much you value it yourself. Because there have been beats that are like $60 and I'll take them without thinking. And I like some I haven't even used. I'll just buy them because I know I like it and I want to support the producer and give him what he wants for the beat. Or there's some beats that are really great and they're only $20. And something that's been hard for me is to come up with the price, because if you're too low on the price, a lot of people will, I don't know, there's just like a sort of like a stereotype.
Yeah, it's almost like selling a cheap electronic. Like,
yeah, basically,
it'll get the job done, but it's cheap, so you're suspicious of it.
Yeah, it makes you think, like, the low price makes you think that it's not worth much, I guess. And then the high price will turn people off from buying it. So you just kind of got to be in the middle. But if someone really likes it, I'm sure they'll buy it, because me as an artist, if it's $100, I'll buy it if I truly do like it. But if not, in most cases, I'll reproduce it myself or try to make something just like it. But when it's right there ready for you, it's so tempting just to purchase it and support the producer who made the original, you know?
So now let's talk about the music itself.
Yeah.
And so is there anything from your upbringing or culture that really affects how you write your music or how you perform your music?
Not in a direct way. Not the substance of my music. But it has affected me in like choosing to pursue music, because in the beginning, I just, like, if you look at me, I don't really look like a typical person that you would assume makes music, because it's known that hip hop is predominantly black.
Absolutely.
The origins. But honestly, like, if you look around now, there's so many different colors and people of so many different backgrounds pursuing this that there's really no right or wrong to it. Anybody can pursue it. But it's something that sort of discouraged me a little in the beginning, because if you think about like the term Asian rapper, which I don't really like being labeled by. Like, I don't really like being labeled by my race and my art.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. Like, I just want to be either an artist or just a person, or
you're just a rapper or musician who happens to also be Asian.
Right, exactly. Like, it shouldn't be a label. It shouldn't be like another category. You know what I mean? Because anyone can do this, honestly. It doesn't, like, your background, the only thing that it affects is your perspective on yourself, I guess. I mean, other people will have opinions on you, but what really matters is your passion, your drive, and the way you see yourself. But in the beginning, it discouraged me because I didn't see a lot of people like me doing this, being taken seriously. But at this point, I've come to the realization that I can do it, and that there's nothing that can really hold you back, especially your own identity. You should embrace that.
Absolutely, because especially on the internet now, it's super easy for anyone just to be like, oh, you suck, I hate this.
Right.
And no matter who you are and what you're put out, you're really going to get that response.
No matter what, like, you're putting yourself out for opinions, so people can like you. And that's being an artist right there. And you're going to get positive ones and you're going to get negative ones. And, yeah, the internet, it's so easy just to spread negativity. And it's like, all you have to do is type a couple words and no one will ever even see you face to face. It's so easy, and it happens to a lot of people.
So when you first started making music, did you have a role model, a specific artist that you really listened to a lot that really influenced your sound?
Yes, in the beginning I was obsessed with Eminem, just because of his rhymes. It was so inspiring. Like, I just love the poetry aspect of it. Like, it's a whole another art in itself, aside from beats and the actual music. Just the writing is insane. And that really inspired me to start the writing when I did. But more than ever, like, even to this day, I would say probably my biggest inspiration is J. Cole, just because of the music aspect. It's like, he just makes great music, and that's why I look up to him.
Music, lyrically, or the actual instrumentals themselves?
I feel like it's the balance of everything. I just love the music. It just all comes together so well, and that's just what I aspire to be like. It's just great.
So then let's talk about your lyrics. What creates ideas for you? How do you get from idea to page?
Emotions, honestly. There will be times where I just want to rap and just do it for fun and just write. But the songs that really resonate with people and the songs that I hold a lot of value to come from instances that may not be so positive in the beginning, whether it's a fight with somebody or whether it's something that makes me sad or something that discourages me. But I would say maybe the rage or the sadness or whatever emotions I get from situations, real life situations that happen to me, those bring out the best songs that I've written, I feel.
And so have there been any moments thus far where you've thought, like, I'm actually making it, like, this is it?
Yeah, in a way, I still know where I'm at, and I still know that I'm not where I want to be yet, but I do feel that there have been moments where I feel that, especially when I release this album, because the amount of love and positivity people have been showing me is insane. It's something I've never really experienced before, and it's all new to me, and I love it, and it's just motivating me even more to keep going.
So you're talking about an upcoming album, correct?
No, the album that I just released February 14th is called Distraction.
Distraction. Tell us about creating an album and that process.
It was insane. I the first song that's on there was recorded in about 2017, and it's just, the span of it is crazy, and a lot of it is what I was just talking about, the emotions. And I originally planned for it to be something like 20 songs, but I cut it down to the ones that meant the most to me. So every song in there, it's about 11. They all make me feel a certain way, and just making each song, the actual process, pretty much drove me crazy. I would stay up almost 24 hours sometimes, get no sleep. I wouldn't eat. I just knew I had to make this, and I had to put it on wax and just make it something real. And I would pick at very little details, like how loud my voice is compared to the featured artist, or how loud the snare is, or if it's the right kick. It's just little details, and I would save it and be done with it, but I would come back to it. Like, almost, like, I would say the longest I spent on a song off that album is maybe about 2 or 3 weeks, something in between there. And a way that I get it done is I direct my attention to multiple things so that I could listen clearer. Like, I'll be playing video games while I'm mixing just to clear my mind and prevent myself from going crazy. And then once it sounds good, that's it.
So is 2 to 3 weeks average? You said it's one of the longest, but have you find that as you continue to make music, your process gets longer each time? Or have you become more efficient at creating songs?
I feel like I've become so much more efficient and a lot less, I've been doing a lot less overthinking. I've been just trying to bring it out of me, basically. I used to spend about a month to make a song, and it would be like a song a month, basically. And now I feel like I could do a song in 2 days. Like one track off the album took 5 minutes to make.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just, the audio is just straight from a video that my girlfriend recorded in the car. And that's one of my favorite ones. So it's not really about how long, it's just about what it means to you, you know?
So is your girlfriend super supportive of you and what you do?
Oh yeah, she's super, super supportive, but at times she's the one that critiques me. And she's sometimes, I guess, that last vote whether a song will make it or not on the album, because there were a couple more that were supposed to go on there. But I really value her opinion because she's just honest. She'll tell me when something sucks. And there are songs that didn't make it, and she'll tell me when something's really good, and I can tell when the reaction is real or not. And I just appreciate people like that just being honest, and it really helps. Yeah.
So do you ever come across like a form of writer's block with music? And if so, how do you get past that?
I have writer's block all the time. Like, I want to write every day, but it's just not possible. I want to write. I want to, but sometimes there will be something that triggers an idea, and once I get the first line, it pretty much all falls together after that. But it's so hard to come up with that first line just to get a flow going.
So I come across a lot of artists where they have the problem of they get excited about a project and they start it, and before they can finish the original, they get excited about something new and move on to that. Is that something that you found experience with?
That's me 100%. And I'm so surprised that I finished this album, because I had so many different ideas at once. And that is me. That, like, whether it's beats, like I want to make this beat or I want to write this song, I want to record this. It's so hard to decide what you want to do first because everything just appeals so to you so much and you just want to get it done. So, yeah, that's me 100%.
So what do you do to go back and make yourself finish that original project? Or
I just, in a way, I have to force myself. Like, sometimes I'll get tired of my own song, to be honest. I'll get tired of it, but I'll just push through. And once that final product is out, I'll be happy with it. And I'll forget about, I guess, the frustration aspect of it. And it'll just be, that'll be it.
So do you have any experience with other music besides rap music?
Yes, I'm trying to be as versatile as I can and just experiment. Like, I have, like, an R&B song, and I really love lo-fi music, like lo-fi beats. I just love rapping on them. Like, that's my favorite. Like, I'll have different phases, but I just love to be versatile and try different things, experiment.
So do you play any instruments?
Yes, I play the piano, and that's really helped with producing music.
And so I noticed before when you were talking about your program, you mentioned snare, you mentioned other instruments.
Yeah.
Have you learned to really fine-tune those instruments even though you don't play them? Almost like a synthesized ear for them.
Yes, I have. Like, it's a completely different thing than playing the real instrument. I probably can't play the real instrument at all, but I feel like I'm pretty proficient in drawing the drums in the program and just creating patterns, and that's what I do. That's producing.
So you're sort of making your way into the industry right now.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would change about it that you think is too rigid or too soft to kind of benefit the industry as a whole?
I wouldn't change anything, honestly. I would not change anything. I love everything the way it is. I love the challenges. I love everything about it. I wouldn't change anything.
So let's go back a little bit. You mentioned critique and how critique from your girlfriend means something to you because you know how genuine it is.
Yeah.
Did you have any struggles with taking constructive criticism, getting defensive? Or
of course, everybody does. Like, I would think something's so good, and then I would just get multiple opinions, and she would just be just brutally honest in a lot of cases, and I would accept that opinion and try again, even if I liked it. And honestly, it's worked. Like, it's brought a lot out of me that I would not expect to make if I just settled.
So then, do you just have to buckle down to get past it? Or is there something, like a trick you did to learn to accept criticism?
No, there's definitely no trick. It's just, you just gotta take it in. It's kind of harsh sometimes, but you just gotta listen and give everybody a chance to state their mind, basically. And just try different things and keep at it.
So let's talk about your future. What is your ultimate aspiration? Like, at what point will you be satisfied with what you've done?
Okay, I'm already satisfied as it is because I just love what I'm doing. But in a way, I'll never be satisfied. I'll always want to keep going, and my aspiration is just to be great. I just want to make great music.
And so are there any schools you were looking at or any collaborations you're looking at that you think could take you to that further step?
Not so much. I haven't had a school in mind or any collaborations. It's just I know that it's in my hands, and I'm responsible for making it happen, and I'll just follow that.
So let's see if you have any advice for, like, anyone who's trying to get into music, who's trying to get over that big learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you would tell them?
I would tell them, don't overthink it. That's my biggest piece of advice. Don't overthink stuff.
Don't overthink it. How? Like, don't nitpick the instruments, or don't?
Just let it be. Let it be what it was originally meant to be. Let the emotion come out of you and just bring it out how it is. Don't focus so much on the business side of it or the parts that people don't really care about. Just do what matters to you and don't overthink it. That's my advice.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. If people wanted to find you, where could they do so?
Well, my name is Strakt. You can look me up on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. Strakt.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been Julio Arellano with Up and Colorful on KPCRadio.com. See you next time.